I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Monday, March 1st. High school seniors in Quincy who've been in the hybrid learning model now have the option of returning to in-person learning full-time starting today. 12th graders at Quincy and North Quincy High School can join 1st, 2nd, and 3rd graders who were able to return to class full-time last week. And 4th and 5th graders in the hybrid model can return to in-person learning on March 22nd. Officials are hoping to allow more students to full-time learning in April. All schools will be closed on Wednesday afternoons for a thorough cleaning. A representative from National Grid is set to speak to the Quincy City Council tonight about numerous power outages that have been plaguing the North Quincy area. Ward 3 Councilor Ian Kane requested the representative speak to officials and explain what's being done to ensure that electricity will be more reliable in the future. The utility company is planning to replace a major underground power cable along Newport Avenue in the future. Kane has suggested that the city create its own power and broadband company. Warning that it is in danger of collapsing, Quincy officials are seeking $2.1 million to make emergency repairs to an underground section of the culvert that carries the town brook. The council will consider Mayor Thomas Koch's request for that money, which would come from the Sewer and Drain Rehabilitation Fund. The section of the Townbrook culvert in need of repair lies between Bigelow Street and Washington Street in Quincy Points. Quincy DPW Commissioner Al Grazioso said a recent inspection of that culvert found numerous structural deficiencies. David White, an engineer with the firm Woodard & Curran, warned that the section in question could potentially collapse. In other business tonight, the City Council will hold a public hearing on an ordinance that would create a definition for affordable housing. And a representative from National Grid is expected to speak about the power issues in Quincy. Full Council will also be honoring the city's Department of Veterans Services as COVID-19 heroes. The Quincy Housing Authority is one of the first in the state to receive COVID-19 vaccines. Director James Marathis says beginning Thursday, vaccines will be given out to any eligible Housing Authority resident in Quincy or Hingham who wants one. Marathis says they'll go building by building, floor by floor, and unit by unit, starting at the Drowen Apartments, then moving to Tobin, Sawyer, Pagnano, and wrapping up on March 12th at O'Brien Towers. Consent forms will be required, and residents will have to show ID to get vaccinated. Vaccinations will be done right outside the tenant's unit, and healthcare professionals will be monitoring the process. Translators will also be available. Stop and Shop is providing the vaccines from Moderna. There'll be no cost to residents. Tenants of Hingham Housing Authority units will also be vaccinated. Marathis says he hopes to offer vaccines to the family housing units when they become eligible. Mayor Thomas Koch says the new General's Bridge that's being built in Quincy Center will be dedicated on September 11th. The mayor said he decided to reschedule the dedication ceremony from this Memorial Day to September 11th after consulting with Governor Baker regarding the pandemic. He says the governor felt that the later dates would be more conducive to larger crowds and that the weather would also be better. Koch also said construction on the bridge won't be complete until July. The $7 million state-funded bridge will span the MBTA tracks and link the Bergen Parkway with Hancock Street in Quincy Center and provide a direct connection to the new parking garage at the former Hancock parking lot. The bridge will be dedicated to Quincy natives. General Joseph Dunford, Chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General James McConville, Army Vice Chief of Staff, retired Generals Ronald Rand and Gordon Sullivan. Project began in March of 2018. The mayor says there will be a collation on the evening of September 10th and the dedication on September 11th, the 20th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on the United States. Interfaith Social Services of Quincy says an anonymous donor has contributed $50,000 to its HomeSafe program. and has agreed to match another $50,000. Director Rick Doan says that donation came in after they shared the story of a Weymouth man who was saved from homelessness by the HomeSafe program. That man had lost his job due to the pandemic and was facing eviction when the HomeSafe program provided emergency assistance. Doan says the story moved the anonymous donation and also moved the donor to agree to match another $50,000 in donations to the HomeSafe program. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Vaccine Advisory Board voted unanimously Sunday to greenlight Johnson & Johnson's single-dose COVID-19 vaccine. The committee met via Zoom to review evidence about the safety and efficacy of the new one-dose shot. After the review, the advisory panel formally recommended the use of the vaccine in adults 18 years and older. Dr. Dan Baruch of Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston was part of the team that developed the vaccine. Johnson & Johnson currently has 4 million doses ready to go. Company plans to have 20 million more made by the end of March and 100 million by the end of June. Massachusetts moving forward in its phased COVID-19 reopening plan as the state enters step two of phase three today. The next step allows indoor performance venues such as concert halls, theaters, and other indoor performance spaces to open at 50% capacity with a 500-person maximum. Indoor recreational activities with greater potential for contact, including laser tag, roller skating, trampolines, and obstacle courses, are allowed to reopen at 50% capacity. Also effective today, restaurants will no longer be subject to a percentage capacity limit, with the capacity limited only by the requirement of 6 feet between tables, although the 90-minute seating limit and 6-person-per-table limit remain in place. Baker also said the state would move into Phase 4, Step 1, on March 22nd, provided public health data allows, with 12% capacity permitted at indoor and outdoor large venues. Venues affected by that change include concert, convention, and wedding venues, and sports arenas like Fenway Park, Gillette Stadium, and TD Garden, which have been shuttered to spectators since last spring. Under the 12% guidelines, the TD Garden would be permitted roughly 2,300 fans, Fenway about 4,500, and Gillette about 7,900 fans. Also under Phase 4, gathering limits will be adjusted to permit event venues and public settings having 100 people at indoor gatherings and 150 outdoors. In private settings, including private homes, limits are set to 10 people indoors, 25 outdoors. Individual cities and towns can maintain restrictions of their own that go beyond state rules. And Baker cited the upcoming St. Patrick's Day holiday as one reason that some might delay adopting the state guidelines. State Department of Public Health announced on Saturday that more than 500,000 of the state's residents have received both doses of the coronavirus vaccine. According to the state's vaccination report on Saturday, 504,304 Massachusetts residents are now fully vaccinated. Another 48,640 doses were administered over the past 24 hours. 1.16 million people in the state have received their first dose of the COVID vaccine, bringing the total doses administered to over 1.67 million. As of Saturday, 2 million total vaccine doses have been shipped to the state. That means almost 82% of the doses reported to the Massachusetts Immunization Information System have now been administered. Other news, President Biden is planning a virtual meeting today with Mexican President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, a chance for the pair to talk more fully about migration, confronting the coronavirus, and cooperating on economic and national security issues. Mexico's president has said he intends during the meeting to propose to Biden a new immigration labor program that could bring 600,000 to 800,000 Mexican and Central American immigrants a year to work legally in the United States. With the floodgates set to open, another round of unemployment aid. States are being hammered with a new wave of fraud as they scramble to update security systems and block scammers who already have siphoned billions of dollars from pandemic-related jobless programs. The fraud is fleecing taxpayers, delaying legitimate payments, and turning thousands of Americans into unwitting identity theft victims. Many states have failed to adequately safeguard their systems, and a review by the AP finds that some won't even publicly acknowledge the extent of the problem. Looking beyond the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, President Biden and lawmakers are laying the groundwork for another top legislative priority, a long-sought boost to the nation's roads, bridges, and other infrastructure that could run into Republican resistance to a hefty price tag. Biden and his team have begun discussions on the possible outlines of an infrastructure package with members of Congress, particularly mindful that Texas's recent struggles with power outages and water shortages after a brutal winter storm present an opportunity for agreement on sustained spending on infrastructure. Republicans say if the White House approach on the COVID relief bill, which passed the House Saturday on a near party line vote and now heads to the Senate, is a sign of things to come for Biden's plan on infrastructure and other initiatives, it could be a difficult road ahead in Congress. A White House proposal could come out in March. Mass gatherings took place in Jerusalem yesterday as Israelis celebrated the Jewish holiday of Purim in violation of coronavirus restrictions. Authorities had been concerned about a repeat of last year when Purim celebrations helped fuel an initial wave of the coronavirus in the earliest days of the global pandemic. The government urged people to celebrate at home this year. Police attempted to block traffic from entering Jerusalem and declared strict limits on public gatherings. Infectious disease experts are expressing concern about Pope Francis's upcoming trip to Iraq, given a sharp rise in coronavirus infections there, a fragile healthcare system, and the unavoidable likelihood that Iraqis will crowd to see him. No one wants to tell Francis to call it off, and the Iraqi government has every interest in showing off its relative stability by welcoming the first pope to the birthplace of Abraham. The March 5th through 8th trip is expected to provide a sorely needed spiritual boost to Iraq's beleaguered Christians while furthering the Vatican's bridge-building efforts with the Muslim world. With homebound nominees appearing by remote video and hosts Tina Fey and Amy Poehler on different sides of the country, a very socially distant 78th Golden Globe Awards trudged on in the midst of the pandemic and amid a storm of criticism for the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, with the top awards going to No Man's Land, Borat's subsequent movie film, The Crown, and Schitt's Creek. The night's top award, Best Picture Drama, went to Chloe Zhao's road movie, Nomadland, a Western set across economic upheaval and personal grief. The China-born filmmaker became the first woman of Asian descent to win Best Director. She's only the second woman in the history of the Globes to win, and the first since Barbara Streisand won for Yentl in 1984. Check of business news. Stocks are mixed. The Dow fell 469. The NASDAQ was up 72. The S&P lost 18. Global stocks are higher, lifted by hopes that President Biden's stimulus package will be enacted and by bargain hunting after sell-offs last week. The dollar was higher. The euro was down. Oil at $62 a barrel. Sports. Celtics pull out a win over the Wizards, 111-110. The Bruins beat the Rangers 4-1. Forecast from the National Weather Service, morning showers, maybe some afternoon clearing, high 46. Frigid air blows in tonight with dropping to the mid-teens, wind chills below zero. Windy and cold tomorrow, high of 30 with wind chills in the single digits. Warming right back up on Wednesday, sunshine 46. Thursday, windy with a high 40 degrees. The boater waves a couple of feet. The winds out of the west gusting to 30 knots later today and a high tide just before 1 p.m. Sun rose at 6:18, sets at 5:34. So again, morning showers, afternoon clearing, high 46 today. I'm Joe Catalano with the AM Quincy News Update for Monday, March 1st.